May we turn now to Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 17 to continue our study in the numberings in Numbers in chapters 1 to 4 of the book of Numbers. Here we see clear instructions from the Lord concerning the numbering of the people of Israel. And we read in verse 7, Moses and Aaron took these men who are mentioned by their names, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their lineage after their families by the house of the fathers according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their posts. I'm sure the Lord will add to us the reading of His Word. You will note from verse 18 that it was the second month. Now that would be just a month or so after they left Egypt. You remember the instructions was given that Israel would have a new calendar in Exodus chapter 12, just before the instructions of the Passover. That would be the first month. And now 1 month later, the children of Israel were gathered together in the wilderness. After crossing over from Egypt, now they were ready to go into the promised land. And therefore they were numbered. This would be the first numbering in the book of Numbers. Now, the children of Israel were ready to set out. And they were encamped around the tabernacle. Last week, in part one of our studies, we discussed the foundation of the tabernacle. That was the silver. And it was my intention to discuss with you too the floor of the tabernacle. Now, I did not have time to finish with that. And today, I think I will not have time to complete that either. So I'm going to skip the floor of the tabernacle and go furthermore into the study of the numberings in Numbers. But before we do that, we would just like to recapitulate a bit on this important principle of the substitution that we see in the silver that was collected for the foundation of the tabernacle. Because the way it was conducted would give us very precious lessons and set the principles for redemption in the New Testament. So part two, after that, we shall study the numberings in Numbers. There are more than one numbering, and we shall see what they are, and we shall study what lessons we can learn from them. Now, by recapitulation, we discussed the source of the silver, that would be from redemption money, the significance of the silver to establish the very important principle of redemption, and the substitution principle that was inculcated in the redemption silver that was collected. Numbers chapter 3, verse 40 to verse 51. May we read it so that we will be more familiar with the passage of this chapter. Very often when it comes to Numbers chapters 1 to 4, we will just skip over very quickly because they are so dull, and to us it makes no meaning. So I would like to read the passages so that you will be more accustomed to the study of this book. Numbers chapter 3, verse 40. And the Lord said unto Moses, Number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel, from 1 month old and upward, and take the number of their names. I'd like you to pay attention to the strict instruction. The numbering was not restricted only to just being how many, but the numbering was important that Moses and Aaron, they were to take into consideration the names of all individuals in the census that was to be collected. That's very important. Then we go on to verse 41. And thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names, from a month old and upward, of those who were numbered, of them were 22,200, and 73 will be 73. And so the instruction was given and followed. We shall leave the rest of the passage to be read later on as we go into the details to save time. Now, you remember the principle of substitution that was established in Numbers chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. Why did God number the people as He did? I behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that opened the womb among the children of Israel, therefore the Levites shall be mine. Because all the firstborn are mine, for on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both men and beast. Mine shall they be, I am the Lord. Now, when God struck the Egyptians, and all the firstborn died in the land of Egypt, belonging to the Egyptians, God by right would also have to strike the firstborn in Israel. But He did not. He did not. He said, these firstborn are mine. They belong to me. I am the Lord. But they still must be sacrificed to me. But God is not a God who slays firstborn children or babies. So He finds a place of substitution, and He takes out the tribe of Levi. And with the taking out of the tribe of Levi, all the Levites, or the firstborn of the children of the Levites, would take the place of the firstborn of the children of Israel. So in that way, the children of Israel, the firstborn, would not have to die. But at the same time, Israel could not make use of the Levites anymore, the tribe of Levi, because every member of the tribe of Levi would now belong to God, and they would be dedicated to His service. The children of Israel could not use them because they belong to God. They took the places of the firstborn, which in the very beginning should belong to God. But God set them in sacrifice. Likewise, also the beasts, firstborn beasts, firstborn animals, they belong to God. And they must also be redeemed by those beasts that belong to the Levites. So we see this important principle. The rule, every firstborn of all flesh belongs to God. The Egyptians, they died. The firstborn died. All flesh, the firstborn of all flesh belong to God. The firstborn of all Israel belong to God as well. The redemption, how is it done? All firstborn are to be redeemed by 5 shekels of silver, except those of a sheep or a goat or a cow. Now let's look at Numbers 18, 15 to 17. This is a very interesting passage. I said just now that all firstborn animals beasts of Israel must belong to God. Now, that is only applicable to all beasts except a goat or a cow or a sheep. Now, let's look at 18, 15 to 17 and see why. Everything that openeth the womb in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of man or beast, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beast thou shalt redeem. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem according to thy valuation for the money of 5 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and thou shalt burn their fat from an offering made by fire for a sweet savour unto the Lord. 3 animals, or 3 groups of animals, 3 categories of animals, were not to be redeemed. They were to be slain. They were the clean animals. They were those that would be provided for in the burnt offering and in the peace offering. They were the sheep, the goat, the cow, or bullock. All these were animals that must be used for the peace offering and for the burnt offering. They were to be slain. They were not to be redeemed because they belonged to God directly. Unclean animals have to be redeemed. 5 shekels of silver. And so we see this principle being enacted from the very beginning, that all things belong to God. Actually, those who are redeemed, they belong to God. But they need not have to die, because an animal has died for them. Because 5 shekels of silver have been paid for them, and therefore they do not have to die. But the others, by right of God's possession of them, they belong to God. The practice of substitution, let's look at a situation. The number of firstborn in Israel, Numbers chapter 3 verse 43, was 22,273. Numbers chapter 3 verse 43. And all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward of those who were numbered of them were 22,273, or 273. Alright, these would be the firstborn in Israel. Now, the number of Levite firstborn, we are told, was only 22,000. Numbers 3:39. And all who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord throughout the families, all the males from 1 month old and upward, were 22,000. So, if one for one, the number of Levites firstborn would not be enough for the firstborn of Israel. 273 short. And that will be known as the odd number, as we read in chapter 3, verse 48. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. Verse 46 and verse 47, we are told what they had to do with the odd number. Because of the extra, the additional number, the odd number of children of Israel over that of the Israelites, and they could not find a substitute, then these people, these children, must be redeemed. Redeemed with 5 shekels of silver each. Now, let's look at the substitution. For every one of the 22,000, a Levite firstborn was substituted. We read that in verse 41. And also in verse 39, where we read of the number of Levite children. For the remaining 273, 5 shekels of silver were paid as redemption money. From the very beginning, it was known as redemption money. Chapter 3, verse 49, especially, let's look at it. And Moses took the redemption money of them who were over and above them who were redeemed by the Levites. of the firstborn of children of Israel took he the money, 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the century. And Moses gave the money of those who were redeemed unto Aaron and his sons according to the word of the Lord. Please note, the standard was the shekel in the century. The children of Israel were not allowed to use any reckoning of the shekel in any way they like. It must be based on the standard shekel in the century. There's only one standard. And all must pay 5 shekels for redemption. That's over the 270, that's over the 22,000 of them. The 273 odd number. They must be redeemed by 5 shekels of silver. The rich cannot pay more, the poor cannot pay less. What is the significance? Please note, one Levite child for one Israeli firstborn. Same, one for one. There can never be one for two. And of course, it teaches a very important lesson now, those of us in the New Covenant, that for us to enjoy the benefits of the New Covenant, then we must be redeemed, one for one. No one can act on behalf of the other. The 5 shekels must be given for the firstborn. Why 5 and not 4? It's interesting, as I pointed out last week, 5 is the number of grace. And that means that redemption must be done on the principle of grace. It's not because we are worth anything that we need to be purchased by 5 shekels, that we are worth 5 shekels. No, 5 is a number of grace. And 5 shekels of silver would suggest to us that Christ paid with his life the silver, not when it was carried out ultimately. We are redeemed not by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his life. And the offer, of course, must be gracious, because 5 shekels. And that's why from the very beginning, even before Jesus Christ died on the cross, we see this principle being laid down. God was teaching the lesson through the tabernacle and through the history of how he was dealing with the children of Israel. Right, we come up to today's study. Israel's encamping around the tabernacle. Now, when you come to Numbers chapter 1, 2 and 3, many of you will just skip over. You will not bother to read because of the numbers. What are these numbers actually? Now actually, they are numbers of the various members of each tribe of Israel. 12 tribes of them. And they were encamped around the tabernacle. They were encamped around the tabernacle. All around here. 12 tribes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All the 12 tribes, 3 tribes on each side of the tabernacle. And we read, Numbers 1, 17. They assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, according to the number of the names, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Number one, those who were numbered were males. Number two, those who were numbered were 20 years and upward. Number three, those who were numbered were those who were able to go to war. So these were able-bodied men who were numbered, and they would be taken into reckoning with the various numberings as we find in the book of Numbers. Now, Israel was encamped around the tabernacle. The tabernacle would still be the center, and all the various tribes would be encamped there. And the east would be Judah. Together with Judah would be 2 other tribes. Numbers 2 verse 3, you would see Judah named in verse 3 on the east side. And then together with Judah would be Issachar in verse 5 and Zebulun in verse 7. So 3 other tribes in one direction. on the east headed by Judah. Then on the south would be Reuben. Chapter 2 verse 10, 12 and 14. So Reuben would be the head, and then two other tribes in verse 12, Simeon as well as Gad. Then on the west, three more tribes under Ephraim. Chapter 2 verse 18, under Ephraim on the west. Verse 20, Manasseh would be there, and Benjamin in verse 22 would be there. And so you'll find that the 12 tribes of Israel will be encamped around the tabernacle. Now, on the north would be Dan, together with the rest of the 12 tribes. Right. Now, around the tabernacle, right to the very edge, would be the Levites. The tribes would be encamped around, but the Levites would be next to the perimeter of the tabernacle. 1, 2, and 3. 3. Right, why 3? Chapter 3, verse 17. Because Levi has got 3 sons. Chapter 3 and verse 17. And these were the sons of Levi by their names: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And each one of the 3 sons will be encamped in the north, in the west, and in the south. What about the east? What about the east? The east should be Moses and Aaron, as we read verse 30, chapter 3, verse 35. That's under Merari, 38. But those who encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel. And the stranger that cometh near shall be put to death. Now, Moses and Aaron and the sons will be encamped right at the entrance. There are 2 duties why they were kept so near. One, they had the charge of the sanctuary, the charge of the tabernacle. 2, they must prevent any strangers from going in. These would be the responsibility of Moses and Aaron. And would I be brave enough even to say that today the duties of Aaron and Moses should correspond with the elders, that they have the responsibility of the sanctuary, and they have the duty also to prevent strangers from going in to the very sanctuary of the Lord. It is holy. It belongs to God. And so you see this chart to give you a rough idea of how the various tribes were distributed around the tabernacle. Now, I have no time for this. If you are interested later on, I have printed out a chart showing the various numbers of the tribes and how and where they were encamped to our brother Bangsan. You can get a copy of it. I wanted a photocopy yesterday, but yesterday was a holiday, so I could not do it. So if you want it, I've given a master copy to our brother Bangsan, and you tell him, he will do it for you. Alright. This chart is what I referred to just now. I have taken the hard work of compiling all these figures together so that they are all compiled in a chart and easy for you to refer to. Now, here you see the number after Exodus from Egypt, 151,150 from Reuben's tribe. And then, before entering Canaan, that's the second numbering, before entering Canaan, in Numbers chapter 26, you will find these numbers. Reuben, 46,500, and before entering, 43,000 as a decrease. Simeon, 59,000, nearly 50% gone. Gad, 45,000, and before entering Canaan, 4,000. Where did these people go? These people had died. They had died. They died in the wilderness. These people were all in the second, is our new generation of people. They were the, this would be after nearly 40 years. They would have died. Those people who had come out of Egypt, all these people would have died, except for two. And you know who the two were, Joshua and Caleb. All the others would have died. Now, very quickly, here would be the figures for Judah, the second tribe. Now, again, you will find you can compare the figures. I don't think it's necessary, but what I want to show you is this, that what those people who came out of Egypt, who by right should have entered into Canaan, all of them died. No one was allowed in except Joshua and Caleb. But those people who were going in during this 40 years, they came back to almost the same number as before. I'll show you the number afterwards. By the way, this third number, and so on, would mean even in marching out, as the children of Israel would march out when they saw the cloud moving away from the tabernacle, then they would move, and they could not just move any way they like. They must follow order, and Ephraim would be the third to move. Then Dan would be the fourth to move. Alright. Total, that's right. Total of all those people who came out of Egypt and who were in the wilderness ready to move into Canaan would be 603,550. But they died. Except for two. Then, when they were ready to go into Canaan, there were 601,730. You can find out the difference. The number will be almost the same. Alright, let me summarize. After Exodus, first numbering 603,500. All died except Joshua and Caleb. That left 603,548. Before entry into Canaan, 601,730. A quick calculation would mean a difference of 1,818. So you see that those people who left Egypt going into Canaan, all of them died except two, but when the people were ready to enter into Egypt, they got back almost the same number except 1,818. And so this would be the new generation going into Canaan to enjoy the fruits of the promised land. Now, there's still another numbering. Just now there was one numbering. Now we have the number of the Levites. It's interesting. All males above 1 month old. Chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15. The Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers, by their families, every male from a 1 month old and upward, thou shalt number them. They would be the ones ready to redeem, to be used to be redeemed, the children of Israel. Alright. There were three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Alright. Again, they would not march in the order of first, second, third, fourth, but they would march after a tribe. Now, for example, the Kohathites would march after Gad, the Gershonites would march after Zebulun. Alright, then they would have the responsibilities of taking down the furniture, the supports and everything else of the tabernacle, they would be the ones who would pack all of them ready to move out. No other Israelite would be allowed to do so. So only the Levites. You see, there are things you must know. There are certain holy things, and these holy things are to be specified, to be done by only those people who have been appointed by the Lord to do them. Then come, just now were two, the Goshenites and the Kohathites, and now we have the Merarites, three. Alright, now the three, that will be the three. Then after that we have Moses, Aaron and sons. Now total, not reckoning Moses and Aaron, 22,000, not enough, as I pointed out, to redeem all the children of Israel. Alright, the Merarites, the tribe that would be the children in the tribe of Levi, they would be taking charge of the boards, the bars and so on of the tabernacle. But what about Moses and Aaron? They would have the charge of the sanctuary. Now, after Exodus 22,000, before Canaan 23,000, we read in chapter 26 verse 62. Right. All these are figures. Figures that most probably all of you, when you read through Numbers chapter 1, chapters 1 to 4, and chapter 26, you will just skip through very quickly. Therefore, it is important for me now to draw out lessons. What lessons can we learn from these chapters, Numbers 1 to 4 and chapter 26? What are the principles that have been laid down there? Perhaps in skipping over them, many of you would have missed out certain very important things. Let us see the lessons we can learn. The fact of the numbering of Israel, the fact that God asked Israel to be numbered, the act of numbering itself, what lesson does it teach us? Firstly, God knows His own. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, this is the application now. We take heart that all those who belong to God, He knows. Chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Alright. First, every one of us, let us be sure on this, that we belong to God. We are God's, and God knows us by name. For the number was taken by name. God knows us by name. And therefore, with this privilege of knowing God, that we belong to God, we will not be lost, comes the responsibility that everyone who nameth the name of the Lord, stay away from iniquity. We must realize that God looks at us and God sees us, and therefore we must not be involved in iniquity. Matthew chapter 10 verse 29 verse 30 tells us this, that God knows the sparrows. When the sparrow drops onto the ground, God knows, because every sparrow in His sight is numbered. Unfortunately, very frankly, I do not like the sparrows very much, because the sparrows come to my house, and you know what they do when they come to my house. On the veranda, they deposit a lot of their belongings, so much so that when I want to get rid of those things that they deposit on my veranda, the railings and so on, it takes a hard time. And all over the floor, you see their deposits, which I do not enjoy. Anyway, I dare not kill any one of them, because I know if I kill any one of them, I shall be responsible. God will make me responsible. He knows every sparrow that drops. More importantly, it says also in verse 30 that He numbers your hair. Every hair that drops, He knows. Now that's how secure we are, that all of us belong to God and all of us are secure in Him. Only males above 1 month, and of those males above 20 are numbered. Do you know that? Now, was God discriminating? Was God a gender chauvinist that only males would reckon? What about the females? Now let us understand this. Now that we have 1 Corinthians 11 to teach us, we can now look at why God laid down this kind of principle. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, we are told that God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, man is the head of the woman. The headship of God is established from the very beginning. This is a very important principle. And that's why we read that the women are to subject themselves to the men, not because they are inferior, by no way, not because they are inferior, but because of the order God has established. Alright, let's see what order. Now, in Ephesians we read, husbands, love your wives as Christ loveth the church. Husbands and Christ correspond. Wives and church correspond. Therefore, we find that the woman is not portrayed as a person per se. She represents the church. And when she refuses to be subject to the husband, then she is presenting a picture of the church refusing to be subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, it was sin who took of the fruit. But whom did God call up for reckoning? God said, Adam, where art thou? Adam, not Eve. Adam was responsible. And that was to establish the headship. And therefore we find that the males above 1 month, the males above 20, they were representative of the people of whom they were taken from. And therefore they would be held responsible. They were numbered. This was to establish the order of headship in God's economy of things. We find also that they were known as Israel. But we know that many of them who were known as Israel were not Israelites. They did not even believe in Jehovah God. And that's what Romans 9:6 had to say. Not all Israel are of Israel. Not all Israel. Not those people who call themselves Israelites were Israelites. Because they were not believers even in Jehovah God. And that reminds us of Matthew 7:21-22, where we read that one day people will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and will knock at the door and say, let us in, let us in. And the Lord will say, who are you? Oh, we have done a lot of things in your name. We have done miracles in your name. We have healed people in your names. And the Lord will say, sorry, I know you not. Sorry, I know you not. Go away. And so there will be many today who call themselves Christians, who one day will not find themselves not able to go to heaven at all. And Revelation chapter 3 verse 1 concerning the church of Sardis, we are told that they have a name, but they are dead. And that's what they are today. And so we need to be careful that we who call ourselves Christians are really have the life of Christ. All of them, except Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And this was commented upon in Hebrews 3:17 and 19. Only faith will allow us to enter into the promised land. The others did not want to go in. They did not believe that they could conquer the giants in the promised land. And so they all had to die. Right, they were sanctified. Now we come to the second numbering, the numbering of the Levites. And this is very important, how these Levites are numbered. Note this, that they were sanctified priests unto God. Numbers 3:50, and encamped around the tabernacle. They were priests. They were special people chosen to be priests, and they were priests. That should remind us of ourselves, that we are in the kingdom of holy and royal priests. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 5 and 9. That we are royal priests and we are holy priests. We are royal priests to shine forth for the Lord, and we are holy priests to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. And let us be sure that we fulfill our function. We are numbered as such. They were numbered from 1 month old and above. 1 month old and above should remind us that we are numbered among God's kingdom of priests. One must be born again. Here it is more a principle of a creation. But later on, as we shall find, there must also be the principle of being born again under redemption. Anyway, 1 Peter 1:22-25 tells us that we are born of the Word. And then in chapter 2 verse 5 of 1 Peter, we are told that we are priests, holy priests unto God. They were not to be numbered among Israel. Though living among them, they were God's inheritance. God said, I will give you no inheritance. You are my inheritance. I am your inheritance. And that's what it should be with Christians today. If we are priests unto God, then God is our inheritance. The world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere in the blue, beyond. And that's what we are today. We are priests. And our inheritance is God. Let us not go for material things alone. They would have no inheritance and take charge of the tabernacle service. And that's what it should be, isn't it, for Christian priests. That we should be involved in our priesthood ministry. We are the peculiar people of the Lord. We are holy priests unto God. And therefore, every one of us should be able to give praises unto God, sing forth His praise. Their years of service, this is interesting. Let us look at the verses concerned. Their years of service were limited from 30 to 50. Let's look at chapter 4 of Leviticus and verse 3. Chapter 4 and verse 3. From 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the of the tabernacle of the congregation. Look at also verse 23. From 30 years old and upward until 50 years old shalt thou number them, all that enter in to perform the service to do the work in the tabernacle. Likewise, verse 30 and so on. Repeated again and again, again and again. From 30 years old to 50 years old, the Levites could only do the ministry in the tabernacle from 30 to 50. That would be the productive years, 30 to 50. After 50, retire. After 50, retire. Now, if you liken the Levites to the elders, well, 30 to 50 will be their productive years. Now, many perhaps are saying in their head, look at our elders, over 50 already. They should go. Now, still be there. Then comes the challenge. You are between 30 and 50. Why are you not becoming elders? Why are you just passengers in the church? Why are you not leaders? Why are you not serving actively, ministering actively for the Lord? Alright, you say, these people are over 50 years old. They should go already. They should retire. They should not be holding that kind of position anymore. Then what about you? It's a real challenge to all of you between 30 and 50. These are the prime years, but you will receive, you will use these prime years for your own self, not for the Lord. After 50, what? Let's look at one verse. Chapter 8, verse 24. This passage is very, very interesting. And I think elders who pay attention to this ruling concerning the Levites will benefit tremendously. Chapter 8, verse 24. This is that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus thou shalt do unto the Levites touching their charge. Right. You see three things here. 25 years old, the Levites must come in to observe those Levites 30 to 50 serving in the sanctuary. 25 years old, that would be probation. They come in, they observe 5 years of observation, of probation. When they reach 30, they take over. When they reach 50, they stay out. But they don't stay out completely. They act as advisors, they act as counselors, they still cooperate. Now, this principle is very important. If the leaders of a church would know this principle and apply it, it means that they would be all the time training people just before they take on responsibility or leadership. Invite them in, learn from them, learn with them, and so on, so that as they grow, by the time they reach 30, they will automatically grow into service. It will be so natural. And by the time from 30 to 50, they will be serving already. And then after that, they will slowly recede to the background. But their experience is very important. But what I see today is very, very sad. Number one, I don't see today people being prepared, people being invited to come to the into the leadership to learn, to go out with the leaders, to observe and to do and to be trained. Then when the time comes, we find that there's always a complaint that there's no one to take over. Then there are those who are inside already, who are the leaders. When it comes to the time to, well, recede and retire, how do the others treat them? Leave them alone. Completely ignore them. So that they are just left and they are no more consulted in spite of all their experience. Now this is a very sad case. This is not the principle laid down in the scriptures. The principle laid down in the scriptures is there must be probation. And after probation, there will be service. And after service, there should still be consultation with those who have the experience and wisdom, having served for so many years. Well, this is a very interesting principle, but I'm not sure. I think if we adopt this principle, I think there will be no more elders in the assemblies. If they understand this principle, then the principle, the question that is often asked in many, many conferences: can elders retire? Can elders be asked to retire? All these questions are necessary. The principles are laid down here. They could not offer strange fire. Numbers 3:4. What is strange fire? Strange fire would be dead fire which would not be from the altar, the brazen altar. You remember when we were studying the tabernacle, we were told that the fire in the brazen altar was not to be put off. Now, you use a strange fire when you use your own fire to start to kindle and make sacrifices. Now, that is not right. The fire, probably in today's language, will be from the world. So there will be no strange fire, and the leaders must make sure that strangers do not come near to their priestly ministry. Numbers chapter 3 verse 4 and verse 10. Application: Christians should not adopt the ways of the world in worshipping and serving God. They should be separate. Those of you who were at the age assembly fellowship conference would have benefited a lot from our brother Kenneth Wong when he elaborated and he instructed and expounded on the church and how the church today has been become the very place where the world has crept inside. Worldliness. Now we need to take care. The leaders must take care of the sanctity of the sanctuary as well as the pulpit. Only the firstborn to the Levites after the Passover were numbered. All those firstborn after they have come out from Egypt, only then were they numbered, not before, because it was established and founded on the Passover. So the Christian life starts with one's identification with Christ, the Passover. Only the Levites were allowed to take charge of the holy vessels, furniture, etc. Numbers chapter 3. And so Christians are holy vessels in the house of God, and they must take care that their services are sanctified and holy. Now, apart from the numbering of Israel and the numbering of Levites that are recorded in the book of Numbers, there is also the numbering of the firstborn in Israel. What can we learn from that? All firstborn in Israel were numbered. Suggest to us, all men belong to God by right of creation. Now, please note, all firstborn in Israel were numbered, but not necessarily that they belong to God. I said that earlier just now, that there were people in Israel who never even knew Jehovah God. And this firstborn belonging to God illustrates the fact that all those born into this world belong to God by right of creation. By right of creation. All Levites were to be instead of all the firstborn in one-to-one substitution based on the Passover. So everyone must trust the Lord as the Passover lamb, or for oneself to be made a priest in the kingdom of God. No one can do it for him. It's always one-to-one. The odd number was to be redeemed with 5 shekels of silver. And so this lesson is merged together with the one being born and being numbered, so that all are classified as, we cannot be redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people belong to God because they were the firstborn, and they were redeemed. They were created and they were redeemed. And so Christians belong to God by right of creation and redemption. And that's what's happening to us today. We belong to God by creation, we belong to God by redemption. Outsiders, sinners, belong to God by creation, but not redemption. And therefore, they are still held accountable for their sin. Each firstborn who was redeemed had his representative in the Levite, the priest. It was a sovereign appointment from bondage. All Christians are priests expected to function as priests to offer spiritual sacrifices. Sovereign appointment to service is based on sovereign deliverance. We are saved to serve. We are saved to be priests. So let's perform our priestly service. Blessed are the sons of God. They are bought with Christ's own blood. They are ransomed from the grave. Life eternal they shall have. With them numbered may we be, here and in eternity. They are justified by grace. They enjoy the Savior's peace. All their sins are washed away. They shall stand in God's great day. With them numbered may we be, here and eternity. They are lights upon the earth, children of a heavenly birth, one with God, with Jesus one, glory is in them begun. With them numbered may we be, here and eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for numbering us as thy people. We do pray, Lord, we may be worthy members of the group that thou hast called us unto, that we may be what thou would have us to be. Help us, O Lord, to be faithful in our service for thee, that even as we have studied this book of Numbers, we do pray that the lessons that are found in this book, in the numberings, we may be able to take awareness of it and apply it to our lives. that Lord, when confidence and assurance is needed, Thou would give us that assurance. Where encouragement is needed, Thou would comfort us. And where there is exhortation to be better for Thee, help us, O Lord, to be what we should be for Thee. We ask these things, Lord, as we commit ourselves to Thee in Christ's precious name. Amen.